Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Your word brings light, and in your light we shall see light. Lord, your word is perfect, converting the soul. Your testimonies are sure, making wise the simple. Make us wise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's be seated. I have a very short time because Trula and her people decided to take all my time. Next time, be disciplined. Now, I don't know how I'm going to preach because of Trula. So if I'm not able to preach, blame her. Amen. All right. This morning, I want to talk to us about two areas that we must grow. We've been talking about growth. And our main verse is 2 Peter. And I need it to be very fast for me because they're telling me that I have only 40 minutes, which is almost impossible. Lady Cardinal, you are welcome. And before I start, I want to really thank my pastor, Pastor Johnny, for his ability. Pastor Johnny has a very unique way of combining preaching and teaching. It's very, very, very unique. So I want to thank him for giving me the opportunity. Thank you, Mama Dorothy, for allowing him, sharing him with us. Amen. I want to thank Pastor James, the husband of Mrs. James. Amen. All right. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Quickly. I need you to help me fast. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfast. I don't know what the NLT would. Give me NLT, let me see. I am warning you ahead of time, dear friends. Be on guard so that you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Verse 18. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to him both now and forever. Amen. Amen. So when you go to verse 17, go back. Say, I'm warning you ahead of time. Be on guard so that you will not be carried away by the errors of the wicked. So the wicked, they have some errors. That is, errors are mistakes. And the mistakes they make, in the first place, you must understand that the wicked is not talking about outside the church. It's talking about people who are Christians, but they are wicked. Are you surprised? But you too, you are one of the wicked people. Because all the things that you do to your fellow believers, the Bible calls you wicked. And he says that, you see, one of the things that the wicked people do, the errors is that they manipulate scriptures to suit what they are doing. So you find people in church who are doing things and you cannot even advise them because they are quoting scriptures to suit what they are doing. The Bible says that they are wicked and they make errors. And when you follow them, it says that you will lose your footing. That word is stability. You will lose your stability as a Christian. And he's saying that the solution to this is in verse 18. That rather, instead of following those errors, that the wicked people make. What you must do is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you seeing it? So if you don't grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you are bound to follow the wicked people, the errors of the wicked. Hallelujah. So I want us to look at why it is important to grow. Amen. When you're talking about the wicked people, we're talking about lawless, unprincipled people. Now, 1 Peter 1:23 says that the word that gets us born again is a seed. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal life. Give me the King James. Being born again, not a corruptible seed. You see, when you want to teach doctrine, you don't use NLT and the message and all that. You see, the NLT and all that, they are not word for word. You know, somebody has just summarized and added his feelings. But King James and the NASB, they are word for word. So you can build a doctrine out of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we are born again. It says that it is a seed. Hallelujah. Now, the growth is in your soul. Let me explain. In 1 Peter chapter 1, go to chapter 2, verse 1. He says that, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. I think this one we can go to NLT. We can go to NLT or passion, if you have passion. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Verse 2. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. And now, let me explain this. Sometimes we quote the verse 2, and then we say that when you get born again, when you become a Christian, you must grow. And you must feed the word so that your spirit will grow. How many have heard that? You must read the word of God, pray so that your spirit will grow. Today I'm going to burst some bubbles. Alright, I'm going to burst some bubbles. I may say some things that you may find difficult to understand, but I'll prove to you from scripture. Amen. Now, when you get born again, it's your spirit that is born again. But you still have your soul and your body. I need some three people to try and... My brother, come. You two, come. You are playing drums. You are confusing all the time. Come. The drummers, sometimes they can harass us. But you are leading worship. You are there. Slow down. Slow down. They will slow down. I need another one. No. I want you to come. Kara, come. Why are you bypassing? This is discrimination. Alright, so be in the middle. Alright, so this is the spirit. The Bible says that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, I pray God that your spirit, soul, and body. So the Bible talks about the spirit, soul, and body. So we are a tripartite being. Tripartite. Is it a good word? Caleb, is it a good word? Alright. So this is the spirit. Now, what many people don't get is that this spirit is perfect. When you get born again, your spirit is perfect. The spirit has been renewed. It's perfect. Do you understand? Okay, let me give you a verse because you're going to challenge me. Alright. Alright, let's go to Hey, where is my let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse. The one at the back, you have to be fast too, because I don't have. You know. Ephesians 4, go to 14 and 15. And then I think Colossians 2, verse 10 will also do it. I don't know why I didn't write the verse down here, but. Colossians 2:10. Okay. Did I say Ephesians 4, 14, 15? Let's look at that one. Let me go to 15. 15. Okay. By speaking the truth in love. I'm looking for a verse that says that we are complete in Him. All right. We are complete in Him. I'm looking. I don't know why I didn't write that verse down, but anyway. So, get it from me. The Spirit is perfect. You are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. All right. This one, because it is perfect, or she is perfect, or he is perfect. He doesn't need to grow, or she doesn't need to grow. All right. Now, when you get born again, you still have your, this is the will, and this is the body. You still have your will, and you have your body. All right? This will is the same. Your will is your intellect, your emotions, all the feelings that you have. You know, when you see a woman and you have a desire for the woman, it's your emotions, your soul. All right? Now, this is the body. As for the body is neutral. All right? It represents the structure that you have. Okay? This body is neutral. You can either use this body for good or for bad. All right? I'll come to the next one after the body. Now, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word so that you grow thereby. We think that is the spirit that is growing. But remember the verse 1 that we read. It says that what you do is that, go to the verse 1. 1 Peter 2:1, quickly. Say, get rid of all bad behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Get rid of it. How? Verse 2. Like newborn babies. Desire the milk, crave the milk, so that you grow into a full experience of salvation. So we have first established that this one is perfect. It doesn't need to grow. So the one that is doing the hypocrisy and all those things is this one and this one. Because what happens is that this one has all the feelings, the bad feelings, and transfers it to the body. When you want to fornicate, it is this one. Transferring it to this one. When you want to gossip and you want to talk about your pastor, it is this one. That's transferring it to this one. When you want to talk about Sofu Mami, it is this one. And transferring it to the body. So what is happening is that as you are reading the word, and praying, then this one, what is happening is that this one begins to go down. Try start going. Are you too stiff? Keep going down. You see, as it goes down, then this one also begins to go down. Are you understanding? So what is happening? The spirit is standing, and that is how you can overcome. This is what is called growth. I think I'm done. Okay, so thank you. Now, there's a fourth one. Do you get a picture? There's a fourth one. That is called the flesh. Okay, sometimes we think that the flesh... Can I get some water? Sometimes we think the flesh is the same as the body. Sometimes the flesh is the same as the body, but most of the time the flesh is not the same. What is the difference? When Galatians chapter 5 verse 19. Let's go to 16. Galatians 5.
Let's go to 16.
5:16. He said, "This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the what? The flesh." Do you realize I didn't say that you fulfill the flesh, the lust of the body? Now it's turned from the body to flesh. Now you're talking about the flesh. When the Bible talks about the flesh, talking about that desire, the things that are not compatible with the word of God, but you are doing. So the flesh represents something that is immaterial, but that leads you. You understand? Now you've gone past the body, because after the body, like I said, the body is neutral. The moment you allow the body to do the evil, the desires of the soul, then I become the flesh. Are you getting it? Now the Bible calls it the flesh. That's why it says that the works of the flesh then begins to say things that are evil. You know, witchcraft and all those. And you, look, witchcraft is in the church. You don't think that if you are a Christian, you do all these things that Galatians 5 is saying. These are things that Christians are doing. They are not outside the church. Amen. Okay. Should I continue? Now, as we've seen, what are the two areas that I want to talk about for us to grow into? One area I want us to look into is John chapter. Okay, number one, grow into worship. Grow into worship. Grow into worship. Grow into worship. John chapter 4, 19-24. The way things are going, it looks like I can only give one point. Then we'll close. Blame Pastor James and Trula. John 4:19. The woman said unto him, "I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain. Ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said unto a woman, "Believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." 22. "Ye worship ye not what? We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Verse 23 again. 23. "For the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." So when you get born again, one of the areas you must grow into is the area of worshiping the Lord. Because we are doing so many things wrong when it comes to worship. And today there was a demonstration here. We are doing so, especially charismatics, we are doing so many things wrong when it comes to worship. And I will show you. Amen. So don't get angry with me. The worshipers, the worship leaders, and the choristers. Hallelujah. God's main reason for creation is to have worshipers. The reason why God created you is to be a worshiper. Say to your neighbor that you must be a worshiper. Genesis 1:1. You see the way I'm going up and down. It reminds me of my pastor, Pastor Johnny. Amen. By the way, Pastor Johnny is my pastor. I have mentors. I have people that, but I have chosen Pastor Johnny to be my pastor. So you two, If you have chosen him to be your pastor, then let him be your pastor. It's your choice. I chose him. I decided that he'll be my pastor. Amen. So I'm with him. If you also you decided he's your pastor, then decide that he's your pastor and be with him. Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I'm proving to you that you were created to be a worshiper. Now, in Genesis 1 verse 1, it says that God, in the beginning, God created. The word created in Hebrew is bara. B-A-R-A. There is a word in Hebrew that is also barak. And that barak is to bless, to kneel, to greet. So one of the meanings of barak is to worship. Now, God hides truth in words. He hides truth in words. So if you want to know the truth about or God's intention, always study the word that he's using. There's a reason why particular words are used and not other words are used. Amen. The root of barak is bara. That means that the root of worship or the reason why we were created is to go to barak. I'm saying that barak is worship. Its root is in bara. So you cannot get barak without bara. So the reason why we were created, bara, is for us to barak. I hope you get me.
Yes.
All right. So we need to, that's why Jesus Christ says that a time is coming when all those who we worship him in because God is seeking such people. And he sought those people through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. So when you become born again, you must learn to worship God properly. And not the way you want. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Should I continue?
Yes.
All right. Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the high. Psalm 148, if you read Psalm 148, in summary, everything must praise the Lord. The stars must praise the Lord. Keep on going the verses, through the verses, then you see. Verse 2, verse 3, you see, praise him, all his angels. Even the sun and moon must praise him. All ye stars of light must praise him. Praise him, the heavens. You waters that, you see, are you seeing it? So everything that was created, the intention is to worship him. Now, why did God create worship? Or why has he ordained praise? Or why does he want us to worship him? When you go to Psalm 8, but Ariapo, look, I've removed a lot of verses. If I was actually teaching, we'd be reading a lot of verses, but I've reduced it. Psalm 8, verse 1 and 2. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained what? You have ordained what? Because of thine enemies, thou mayest the who? And who? So the purpose that he has given out of the mouth of babies, that the strength is for what? Is to go against his enemies, isn't it? So that you will still the enemy and the avenger. Now, Jesus Christ quoted this verse. He quoted this verse in Matthew chapter 21, verse 16. Now, he's explaining what this verse means. Matthew 21, verse 16. And he said unto him, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have ye never read that out of the mouth of babies and sucklings, thou hast done what? Thou hast done, read with me. Let's read again. Let's all read it. 1, 2. And said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. So Jesus Christ was quoting that verse in Psalm 8, verse 2. But instead of saying strength, he's saying that you have perfected praise. So it is the praise that gives you strength. Are you with me? It is the praise that gives you strength. So when the Bible says that he's going to chase the avenger and the enemy, he is going to use praise and your worship to steal the avenger and the enemy. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, how do you praise and how do you worship? And here I'm going to say something that will shock you. Throughout the Bible, to praise is either to say or to sing. Right? To say, to speak, or to sing. Now, throughout the Bible, angels do not sing. Angels don't sing. You are looking at me. You are shocked. How dare the angels sing? No, everything that we've heard is tradition. It is not scripture. Oh, but in Luke, didn't the angels sing when they were announcing the birth of Jesus? Okay, so we should read it. Eh? All right, Luke chapter 2. 13. Surah Bafotun Jum Dede. Hallelujah was ro. Any J was ro. J was ro. Look, most of the time when somebody says that they heard the angels sing, normally it's not the angels, it is the 24 elders who are singing. In heaven, it's not angels don't sing. Eh? Is what? All right. And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. They were praising and. All right, let's go to note, underline the saying. I'm saying that angels don't sing. Angels praise God by declaration, by saying it. They don't sing. Singing is the exclusive privilege that God has given to man. That is why when you don't open your mouth to sing, it pains God. When you come and we are worshiping, you know you don't worship at home. You come late after praise and worship. All right. What did I say? Did I say Isaiah chapter 6? But you should know that we are going to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6, 1 to 3. In the year that King Uzziah died, Uzziah means the strength of God, all right? There's another word, Uzza, that is the strength of man. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Hi, Pastor, this 45 minutes is not good, it's not enough. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Verse 3. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and the twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Verse 3. And one cried unto another and
said.
Cried unto another and
said.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Kadosh, 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 the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of their glory. So they praise doing what?
Saying.
But pastor, but saying too is the same as singing. No. Revelation chapter 5. Chapter 5 verse 8. Are you there? Oh, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Next verse. And they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals." Please note those who are singing. Who are those singing? Verse 8, who are those singing? The 24 what? 24 elders, not angels. Verse 9. "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, and out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." So these people are singing. And the reason they are singing is that they have been redeemed. Angels have not been redeemed. It's you and I who have been redeemed. Human beings who have been redeemed, isn't it? Yeah. The Bible says, "Let the redeemer of the Lord say so." So they were saying so. One guy went to a Bible school, and then when he completed Bible school, he said he has had a revelation. A major revelation. And that the Bible says that, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And he said that when the enemy comes to you, the revelation is that the redeemed must say, if the devil comes and say that, "I will kill you today," the Bible says, "Let the redeemed say so." So that when the devil comes and say that, "I will kill you," say so. Somebody told you that this is a revelation, it will take you to hell. Alright, verse 10. Oh, uncle. "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth." So the redeemed people are saying it. Verse 11. "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands." Verse 13. "Saying what?" They were doing what? "Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing." The angels were saying, the redeemed were what? Oh, the redeemed were what? They were singing. The angels were saying. So angels praise by declaration, by saying. The saints praise by singing. Singing is an exclusive privilege that is given to the redeemed people. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm showing you scriptures though. I'm showing the difference between saying and singing. Otherwise, the Bible could have said that, oh, they were also singing and saying. But no, it said that they were saying. The angels in Luke chapter 2, they said in Isaiah, they were declaring, they were saying. Now, for you not to get confused, there was a time that angels sang. Because Lucifer was a one-man thousand. He was a one-man orchestra. The Bible says that, you know, I don't have time to go, Ezekiel 28, when you go, you can look at it. And then Isaiah 14, all right? It talks about how he was created and he had all these instruments in him. Okay? Where was I? Okay. So I'm talking about Lucifer. Good. Go to Job 38, verse 6 and 7. Job 38, 6 and 7. The time is making me some whipper. Job 38, 6 and 7. Whereupon are the, God was asking Job this question. He said, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Or maybe you can give me. Okay. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So the sons of God, this is pre-creation. All right? God was saying that when the sons of God here, to religion say that it refers to the angels. All right? And saying that there was a time the sons of God sang. But theologians believe that that was before Lucifer rebelled. By the way, the name Lucifer is not a name. Lucifer is not a name. Lucifer is a translation of the morning star. So when you read, Isaiah 14. You're looking at my face as if I'm lying. Isaiah 14. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Lucifer, son of the morning. Now, give me a modern translation. Do you have New English Translation? Or Passion? You have the Passion? Good. How you are falling from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. Are you seeing it? So instead of translating the Lucifer, they just left the name. But Lucifer is not a name. In fact, if you look at the names of the archangels, the name of every archangel ends with L. So we have Michael. We have Gabriel. So it's very likely that Satan's name ended with an L. Lucifer. Hey, Michelle. All right. That's not for today. I know the name, but that's not for today. All right. Another time. Okay. So, God created man to replace Satan. I can go into it, but that is the summary. God created man to replace Satan because Satan rebelled. We all know the story, right? Satan rebelled. Okay. Now, God established something in the Old Testament called the Tabernacle of David. Why we must grow into worship. If you look at the Tabernacle of David, David's Tabernacle, and the Tabernacle of Moses, you will see that the Tabernacle of Moses was only for Jews. The Tabernacle of David was a mixture of Gentiles and Jews. All right. And then God says that in Acts chapter 15, verse 15, God says that he is going to raise up. As it is written, go to the next verse. Oh boy. Afterward, I will return and restore the fallen house of David. Go to King James. I will rebuild its ruins and restore. Go to King James quickly. After this, I will return and rebuild again the tabernacle of David. I was talking about tabernacle. Alright? The difference between the tabernacle of David and that of Moses is that Moses' own was just for Jews. But David's own was a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. Now, this is where I may end. If I follow the Spirit, I will end. All right. God says that he's going to restore the tabernacle of David. Why? Because of the way David worshipped. Now, we have something called protocol. The protocol of worship. Okay. In David's time, before they enter into the temple, You know, the temple was up Mount Zion, all right? And that is what the Jews want to establish. So you hear people saying that Zionism is just the reestablishment of the temple so that they can do their temple, all those things, all right? The protocol that David established was that before they will go to the temple and go and worship, they will start by singing songs called the Song of Ascent. All right? And you will see those songs in Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. There are 15 songs or 15 psalms. Worship takes preparation. You have to prepare to go and worship. So they will ascend. You see, that Jerusalem is up and they are going up. So as they are going, they are singing the song. Well, some of the things say the Song of Degrees. But the same word means ascent. So as they are going, they are singing like on the mountain, in the valley. It's a song of ascent. It is not worship. Please, let us know the difference between worship and praise. All right? Because sometimes you are worshiping. You've taken us higher than... You bring us down by singing a song of ascent. I have some songs in my mind, but now they have escaped me. I was going to give an example. You know, we bow down and worship. Yahweh, you are worshiping. You are worshiping. Then you begin to sing on the mountain, in the valley, on the land, and they've turned there on the mountain to a worship song. In the sea, you have destroyed the protocol. Today, you're looking at me that as if it doesn't happen. I mean, I'm not saying that you do it all. Don't take it personal, please. I am saying that most of the time, that's what a lot of praise and worshipers do. All right, I'm trying to get some songs that even today you did some. Yeah. Now I'm I'll be on. Today you did some. Do you remember? God forbid, you don't remember. I was taking notes. Which song did you sing? Okay, you're under time. But you see that is what is called protocol. The reason why it's important is that when you follow the protocol, right, you do what God wants you to do and achieve the result that God wants you to achieve. If you do not follow the protocol, you will get it wrong and you won't get the result that you want. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm overstepping. Okay, I'm stepping. Okay. The second thing to grow into is giving. Grow into giving. I have scrapped a lot of things I was going to share, but the Lord is my portion. Amen. One of the things I was going to tell you was that, you see, when David was taking the, how many remember the Ark of the Covenant that was taken by David? Remember when David was taking the ark and then he was dancing a lot? The first time he tried to do, what happened? He tried to take the ark, but he put the ark on an ox cart, on a cart. Remember? And when the ark was trying to fall down, a man stretched forth his hand, Uzzah, stretched forth his hand to try and help, and God killed him. There's a lot of lessons for us to learn when it comes to praise and worship and even to doing things in the church. The proper way for the ark to be conveyed was through human beings, was not through an ox. All right? But you see, when the ark of the tabernacle was with the Philistines, who were Gentiles, they put it on an ox or an ox cart or something like that. Right, a cart
with the oxen pushing it. But David, being a child of God or being a Jew, should have known better and copied what the Philistines did to the ark. So what is it? God didn't kill the Philistines though, when they were doing it. But he killed the one who should have known better and didn't do the right thing. What lessons is there for us? When you don't follow the right protocol, and you see the ox there represents systems and structures. Okay? It is not bad to have systems and structures. But God does not want you to depend on systems and structures. No. Because the ark of God, the presence of God, is supposed to be carried by human beings are the ones who have to carry the anointing of God. Not oxes. Not structures. Not systems. Even though they are good. That's the lesson there. Let's go into giving. Grow into giving. Now I'm going to give you one. Why is it important to give? One of the reasons why it's important to give is that when you give, it shows the greatness of Christ. When you give. And here, Pastor has taught a lot about tithing. Those of you who weren't here and who have not gotten the message, please try. I think the messages are on the platform. Listen to it. Go to the platform and then go and get the message. And they are very, very, very important. In fact, down to earth, proper teaching about tithing. And one of the things he said was that tithing is not by force. Tithing, you cannot really get tithing taught in the New Testament. All these things he said. So if you are here, you are confused that this church will force people to tithe. No. Nobody forces anybody to tithe. But it is good for you to also tithe. It is good for you to also give a percentage of your income. Hallelujah. And I have biblical proof to show. I'll give you one. I said that when you give, go to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7. Pastor, my time is up. Give me some 5 to 10 minutes. Oh, Elikadna, am I allowed? Okay. Hebrews 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, or to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Verse 3. Without father, without mother, nor the end of the verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of spoils. So one of the reasons why Abraham gave them Melchizedek the tithe was that he was a great person. And Melchizedek is a figure of Christ. So when you give a percentage of your money to God, what you are saying is that God is great. Hallelujah. You are declaring that he is great. Number two. When you give, especially when you give a percentage of your money to God, it shows that Christ is alive. You are declaring that Christ is alive. So those of you who don't pay percentage, look, because of the abuse of pastors concerning the tithe, because some pastors, they are chopping the tithe power. They are using it to buy Porsche cars, while their members are in poverty. It's a fact. But so you don't use those who are abusing the scriptures to also destroy what God also wants to do. Are you understanding me? And what I can assure you is that when you give your tithe in this church, you can see the evidence is there. The evidence is there. And the truth of the matter is that, you see, this offering that you know, how much do you give as an offering? One CD, 5 CDs, 2 CDs. The truth of the matter is that it doesn't do anything. We went to a branch, one of our branches. And when we went there, The money they were using buses. They took a bus to go and see the church members. The cost of the bus alone was more than the offering that they were getting a day. So some of the church members had to combine, had to, you know, give offering so that they can pay for the. So I was asking that, so what happens to the upkeep of the church, the electricity and all those things? How do that, you see? So people don't know that a lot of things are being done with the money. But all they see is that, oh, maybe pastor is driving a nice car. And you don't even know where the car is coming from. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 8 again. Verse 8. And here, men that die receive tithes. But there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that what? It is, you are not reading the verse with me. It is witnessed that what? He liveth. So when they were paying tithes, and this was referring to the Old Testament way of the temple, giving tithe. And he was saying that if you give tithe, it is a declaration that Christ is alive. Now, you see, God hides truths in examples. God, he hides truths in examples. I've been wondering, I've been asking some questions. Why is it that, how many believe that Jesus Christ is God? When he came on earth, he was God in the flesh. How many of you believe that? Yeah, if you don't know, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ was perfect God and perfect man. But the question is that, why didn't he declare to the Jews that, hey, I am God? Because it would have been very easy to say that, hey, I am the God of Abraham. But instead of saying that, he will say, he will go and say that, before Abraham was, I am. And the only time he actually said that he was God for the high priest to understand that he was God was when he was at the trial, and the priest is saying that, and he swore, he said, look, tell us who you are. Then he said, you see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. The moment he said that, the high priest tore his clothes because he had blasphemed. Because the Jewish scriptures, the only person who was coming in the clouds with angels was the Son of Man. And the Son of Man was God. Are you understanding it? But you won't get a direct quote that, hey, I am God. So God puts those things in stories and things that happen. One of the stories that shows that when you give tithe or a percentage to God or to Christ, you are proving that he's alive. It's a figure called Joseph. Joseph is a figure of Christ in the Old Testament. Have I lost you, or you're with me? Okay. Let's go to Genesis 45. That's my last. I'm cutting a whole lot of, and then we end. Genesis 45. Let's go to the story. From 28. Okay, let's read the story. And Joseph could not refrain himself from then, and caused every man to go out. And verse 2. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. Verse 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me. Now go, skip to verse 16. Let's go fast. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And he pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. 17. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lead your beast and go get you unto the land of Canaan. 18. And take your father and household and come unto me, and I'll give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat thereof. Let's go. Now thou art commanded, do this, go to for your wives, and bring your father and come. 20. Also regard not yourself, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. 21. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons. Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them, this is critical, from here to 28. To all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. There's a message there, but it's not for today. Let's go to the next verse. And to his father, he sent after this manner. To his father, he sent after this manner. Watch carefully. 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. Next verse. Christabel, read 25 for me. Yes. 24. Read it. Do you understand? See not. Do you understand it? No, you don't. That simply means that don't quarrel. Oh, that's all that it means. That do not quarrel as you are going. Don't be breaking. Don't fight among yourself. 25. Okay. It's okay. Who else must read for me? If I see you're not paying attention, you read for me. All right. Michelle, 25. Unto Jacob, their father. 26. Not you. The whole church. And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. 27. Let's read again. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to him to carry him, the spirit of When he saw the wagons, he didn't believe. But when he saw the wagons, verse 28, very important verse. Israel said, it's enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Why? Because he saw the wagons. What was in the wagon? Or what were in the wagons? What was in the wagon? Let's go. Give me the wagons. No, go to where it gave. Go to 25 or something like that. Where you put the things in the. Go 25. Yes, 23. And to his father, he said after this manner, 10 asses with the good of the 10 she asses. So there was a message there from Joseph to his father. Some people say that, oh, Jacob was not paying tithe. You only paid tithe one. Why? You want the Bible to say that the next verse, and Jacob paid tithe when he went to, and the next verse, Jacob paid tithe. Do you want the Bible to say that? He told that he paid tithe once. He has given you that he paid tithe. You want the Bible, and they said, oh, Abraham paid tithe only once to Melchizedek. You want the next verse to say that, and Abraham, when he bought this, he paid tithe. You want the Bible to... No, the Bible doesn't waste time like that. But there was a message. If Jacob had not taught his children something about 10... Are you seeing it? He had taught them something about 10. And so Joseph was sending a message to his father. I'm sending you 10 asses, 10 this... 10 days, now that's a proof that I'm alive. So when you give a percentage, 10 or more to God, what you are declaring is that Jesus is alive. Lift up your voice. Begin to cry out to God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's keep on praying. Just thank the Lord for his word. Thank the Lord for his word. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We give you praise. As your word has come, let it move us forward. From today, we repent of not giving, of not supporting your work, but that, Lord, we will support your work from today with a good percentage, so that your work will move on, so that your house will be completed, your temple will be built. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory, we give you praise. You are here, we heard the word of God. You don't have a relationship with Christ. This morning, I want to plead with you to give your heart to Jesus. If you are here and want to give your life to Christ, I want to lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. You were invited or you came to church today, but you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to lift up your hand and let's all say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Today, I accept him as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me my sins. I am yours from now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.